Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, caller analyst Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, Monday when Peyton Manning announced that he was going to Denver, I said to my wife, I said, we're going to have an interesting show on Wednesday. She said, why? Wives are not necessarily as clued in. And this morning, I said, we might have a real interesting show tonight. And then at about, 1 o'clock this afternoon, I said, this is going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. Now, I don't know what to make of it, Logs. I mean, I pulled into the parking lot. John Dineen sends me a text a couple hours ago, goes, man, this is crazy. And I thought, yeah, it is kind of crazy. But I didn't know what was going on because I hadn't looked at my phone. To me, it was a foregone conclusion. I wasn't following Twitter. All of a sudden, I look down and I go, what do you mean the trade is on hold?
That's kind of how my day went. This morning, you think, okay, something could happen. And then after lunch, check the phone. Okay, the Jets trade for Tim Tebow. Okay, go home, getting ready to come here down the stadium and get back in the truck. And all of a sudden, the trade is on hold. I'm like, oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
it's a crazy affair, and it's an unfortunate affair. And just like Tim Tebow, the opinion is not in the middle.
No, it's
one side or the other. There's never seems to be any middle ground. And a lot of people have asked me, should they trade for Tim Tebow? Should they get him? And my opinion is this, is that if there is a defined role, if the coaching staff is on board with it, if the owner is on board with it, obviously that's the most important thing, and the general manager is on board with it, then great. Make it happen. I don't know who's on board and who's not on board. But to me, I think, a fourth-round pick and a swapping of sixth- and seventh-round picks that was proposed by the New York Jets doesn't say – to me, that's a low value for him. I think his value is higher. But I think his popularity has been a detriment to his trade value.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
Maybe the biggest detriment. Because what you're getting, you're not just getting a quarterback who can come in and compete in a vacuum. There is no vacuum with this guy. Or even close. It's explosions all around. It's billboards. The reports have been that, maybe they're acquiring him or – maybe the interest is as a wildcat guy and as a situational guy. And it's just hard to imagine that playing out that way with him because it's going to be so polarizing that it's hard to imagine it staying in a wildcat contained thing. It's going to be Tebow mania. And for some people that's good, for some people that's bad. But that's how it's going to be.
I've had a couple different friends of mine that are fans of Tim Tebow, and I'm a fan of Tim Tebow.
Sure.
I like him. I like what
me
he stands
too.
For. I think there's a lot of good things about him. And they asked me, why wouldn't the Jaguars want to have Tim Tebow? And my answer was this, and that if Tim Tebow comes in and Blaine Gabbert ends up beating out Tim Tebow, then everything that Blaine does that's not quite good enough will propel people to say, put Tim in. It's the same thing.
It'll happen in a preseason game.
Yeah, the same thing that happened with Kyle Orton this past year.
It'll happen the first practice training camp.
Yeah.
And it would be very difficult for a quarterback that you believe is going to be a franchise quarterback because you don't draft a quarterback in the top 10 trading up for him if you don't believe that Blaine Gabbert's going to be a franchise quarterback. But it would be hard for anybody. I don't care if it's Peyton Manning or Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers. You would still have people that say, put Tim in. We want to see Tim Tebow.
It's a hard animal to keep in the cage.
And that's what I meant by that popularity, that opinion, is a detriment to Tim's true value. Because a lot of people, teams don't want to have that.
Well, let's establish the true value for a sec. Last year, the Broncos went from a team that was, on the verge of being a top five drafting team, right? They were 1-4, to a playoff team. They beat the Steelers at home. They lose to the Patriots in New England. But they have all that attention. I mean, right now in the Drudge Report, Tim Tebow's photo is at the very top of it. So mm-hmm. we're talking about an amazing amount of attention. Did his jersey go to the top of the sales in terms of popularity?
If it wasn't top. Yes,
my three boys wanted Tebow jerseys for Christmas.
And that would be the positive of getting him.
Okay, but when John Elway says we're moving on, and not we're going to bring Peyton in and let Tim still be a part of it, we're moving him out for a 14-year veteran with four neck surgeries.
That means that they didn't want to have that scenario, even with Peyton Manning.
But does it say that the rest of the league understands that he is not a franchise quarterback? Does moving him out, do you see it as an admission by a very well-known passing quarterback that Tim Tebow is going to have to accept a role?
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear to understand
like
that from his
right, but
opinion.
I think what...
So what's the value based on that?
I think the value set, and it'll take a while to get to the point, the fact that it's a fourth and a seventh round pick or whatever it is, the fact that it's not a one, tells you two things. Teams worry about the baggage it brings. And I don't mean baggage in a negative way toward Tim. I don't think Tim has intentionally caused the baggage.
No.
It's the furor around it. And B, that teams look at him as a guy who, while he might develop into a great quarterback, it is perceived as being a long project for that to happen. I think those two things make it a fourth and a seventh guy rather than a two.
Well, talking about value, there were only two teams that really, it seemed, were interested. I mean, the Dolphins and you don't hear the Buccaneers, the other two teams in Florida. I mean, it's not as if every team in the league says, well, you know, we want some of that Tebow mania.
I don't think
what's
it's
going to cost to get some of it.
I don't think it's saying anything new that when you looked at what happened in Denver and it was billboards and it was a perception around the league that the fan interest and fervor forced that move in a way. You know, if you have anything close to a settled situation, most teams would not want to be a part of that. Now, the quarterback situation here in Jacksonville is not as settled. So on that level, it makes more sense.
All right, early this afternoon, a little after
on
one,
some level.
Just to reset for people. Early this afternoon, you probably saw the news like everyone else did. Seemed Tim Tebow was going to the Jets. Then later this afternoon, the deal is on hold. John, can you give a better explanation than I on why that is? Essentially, it's a payment, a $5 million payment the Jets overlooked in the contract.
That's the, you know, from what Adam reported, Adam Schefter, who,
ESPN.
You know, on these issues is usually right up front because he talks to everybody. The impression you get is that when the Jaguars, Rams, the other teams read the wording in the contract and were aware that, oh, this comes with a $5 million payment. And from what you perceive of what Adam said is that when it started shaking out and they were saying, okay, let's dot the I's and cross the T's, that one of the T's was a $5 million payment. Big T, but that's sort of what happened. And that when that came up, that there was sort of a, okay, we'll get right back to you on this one. And when they got back to him was, well, we're not so sure. Now, again, I don't know the details, but that was how I read what Adam was reporting. I haven't heard that from anybody inside our building, but that seems to be how it played out. So, yes, that seems to be how it played out, Brian.
Well, a lot of people want to know, what have we heard inside the building? Nothing.
Yeah,
right.
Not much.
Right. We're talking about what we've been reading tea leaves all day, reading reports, and what you're hearing. And
yeah, this building is very quiet on this situation, and I get it. You know, I mean, until you do a trade or don't do a trade, I mean, if you do a trade, obviously, then you talk about it.
Sure.
If you don't, you don't talk about a player that is not yours.
Right. They're not only not telling us. They shouldn't be telling us. They're trying to get something done, or trying to figure out whether to get something done or whatever they're doing. But their jobs right now shouldn't be walking down and saying, hey, say this.
You know, it's amazing in that he's such a polarizing figure, and that the day that you have maybe the harshest penalties in NFL history for an organization and a staff, for the whole Bounty Gate scandal in New Orleans, that has just really taken a back burner to the Tim Tebow talk.
All right, we've got much more to come talking Tim Tebow and where it stands and if the Jaguars are involved. We'll take your calls, and we will also talk some about exactly what Jeff just told you, and that is the punishment handed down by Commissioner Roger Goodell to a couple of the Saints and one former Saints coach. More to come on this and all topics on Jaguars This Week here on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Football Fanatics, not to be confused with Tebow Maniacs. And we'll let a few of those folks on the phone here this evening, no doubt. Opinions run wild when it comes to that young man. Did you read Bill Plaschke's column in the L.A. Times today?
I did not.
It's a good read, you know, and it's in defense of Tim, and it says, you know, if some of the miscreants who have been given chance after chance after chance after chance in the NFL can get another chance, why can't Tim? And, you know, some of those miscreants are really good players, but we'll just throw it out there. It's a good read if you want to see, you know, someone outside of Jacksonville who has something very positive to say about Tim. Now, we were just watching Adam Schefter, who was reporting live from the streets of New York, and his comment was is that ever since the Jets became aware of the clause, which he reported the Jaguars were aware of yesterday.
Correct.
And I think that's because you got a guy like Tim Walsh in here who misses nothing. He's the Jaguars cap guru.
Way to go, Tim.
He really is. He's the best around, folks. And so you got a guy like that, and he catches that. The Jaguars had a discussion about it. But here was the interesting thing. Schefter reports that the Jaguars are trying to get back into the mix and have a conversation and make something happen. In fact, his language, correct me if I'm wrong, was they're trying to put the final touches on a deal. Jets are too. Both teams are trying to. He reported that the Jaguars were, and I'm quoting him, devastated that they couldn't get a deal consummated for Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I don't doubt that there are talks, but you know, we all kind of raised our eyebrows when we heard devastated, because my thought would be if they were devastated, you probably would have been talking more than fourth round pick. I mean, it's just logical that if it was, we must have this guy at all costs, that's what devastation means to me. I don't know that that was the tone if it wasn't for more than a fourth round pick.
Well, since you bring cost in it, how much does money and salary and working within the team salary structure impact a guy who's coming in, if he does come in, Jacksonville or New York, in a slash role, in a, you know, package quarterback role? Because I don't think anybody's under the illusion that if he were to come here, he would be competing for even the backup quarterback job.
Well, if he come in from a salary standpoint, he would be the highest paid quarterback, I believe,
for that year. He's getting $6 million, sure.
And that's, you know, that's not exactly the way you want a cap kind of structure. You want to have, you know, your starter, whoever that may be, and then have it, you know, going downhill. You know, the other thing to think about this is that from a negative standpoint, why you wouldn't want to have Tim Tebow in the mix. Chad Henne's had some things that weren't too favorable about Tim Tebow, I guess, last year.
It wasn't terrible. I think that was before the draft when Tim was drafted,
yeah.
I think. But still.
Yeah.
Still.
I mean, it wasn't terrible, but no. It wasn't good.
Right.
It wasn't great.
You know, but, I mean, you know, Tim's got big shoulders, and he heard criticism all his life. He can handle that.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that those two could get past that. But, you know, I don't know. This is going to be an interesting watch.
Well, there are all kinds of reports all over the Twitterverse, and I know you see it too, from people who have talked to his brother at Bay Hill down in Orlando. And, you know, he says the Jaguars are back in the mix. They thought it was signed, sealed, and delivered with the Jets, though. I mean, so you just got to wait, because it's all way
let's just
way
say
out
too.
There.
We hope this ends well somehow.
What's
it's
well,
just,
because you're going to make someone mad one way or the other.
Right. And that, again, is a dilemma. There's no way.
You're on a tightrope here.
Somebody sort of chastised me for calling, and it was hard for me to believe, but for calling Tim a polarizing figure. How can you say he's a polarizing figure? He's a great guy. Yes, he's a great guy, but I've never seen a more polarizing. Out of 150 emails I got on Tebow today, maybe 20 of them were sort of down the road asking a philosophical question about it. Most of them were either, I can't believe they did this, or I can't believe they didn't do it. It was just
one side or the other.
Yeah.
Did you see
Bianchi's
tweet?
Such an emotional thing. Right.
Bianchi wrote a tweet earlier in the day.
Yeah.
I know you don't follow Twitter, but his tweet was went along the lines of this. I'm paraphrasing now. I might be saying it exactly right. The Tebow Mania Circus moves to New York, but the clowns still work in Jacksonville.
Right.
That's a media member.
Yeah.
You know, throwing that fire and that vitriol out via Twitter after the trade is thrown in there.
When there was
one or the other.
When he was going to the Jets, the reaction was either, ha ha, we win, or, oh my God, they're the stupidest team in the world.
You bet.
I mean, it's...
There's no in between.
And it's striking. It is an amazing phenomenon.
Have you ever seen a player?
No.
Never.
I mean, are we missing somebody?
No.
I've never seen
a player draw this much of an opinion on one side or the other.
I'm not sure it's close. I'm not sure. I've never seen anything remotely like
it. Maybe Red Grange. 1925. Go ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong. His salary is $6.2 million.
Well, I don't know. Here's what we know, was that it was an advance paid. The Broncos have already paid him $1.2 million, okay? And they advanced $5 million. So I don't know how much of that has to go back. And how much of it... It was an advance against salary in 2012, 2013, 2014.
So the $5 million isn't in addition to that $6.2 where you're paying $11.2 for this guy if you
want. No, essentially you're paying the Broncos back for the money they've already paid him, so you're paying him.
Okay. Well, how much do you want this guy to do? How much of it is, okay, we're just going to let him sell tickets as opposed to what you need a player to do on the field?
Well, that brings an interesting question.
Well, here's the question that I have. Is there a guarantee that the tickets will fly out of the gate if Tim Tebow became a Jaguar?
That's the theory that's always pushed nationally that I'm anxious to see. I mean, thanks what you're saying, Jeff. Will it? If it happens, that's the thing I'm most interested to see, because everybody sort of reports automatically, hey, this is going to solve the problems. Hey, the tarps are coming off. Let's see. Because I don't know.
I don't know
either.
Well,
you know, I sent a text right as we started the show to Baselli, who's not here this evening, asking him, what is your official stance on Tebow? For our listeners, he says you want me to call in, so I'm tweeting him back or texting him back saying yes. Call in. He's the ticket guy.
Sure.
You know, we'll find out exactly what he says. I do think we need to debunk this right now. The Jaguars should never take the tarps off of this stadium unless the marketplace grows 3 times. If you take the tarps off this stadium, leaving them on, it's still much bigger than a lot of stadiums in the NFL. If you take them off if Tim Tebow were to arrive, would you have to put him back on when he leaves at some point in time?
Would you need to take him off?
Well,
I mean, that's you're right. You don't know.
Let's hope so. Let's hope it gets to an issue. Let's hope it gets to a point where you're asking that question.
Well, I know Mr. Khan said that he looked at those tarps and his goal was to take those tarps off. And, yeah, I get it. But when you're looking at the big picture compared to where we are in the marketplace and the economy, you don't want 77,000 seats here. They got a lot of tickets to sell with the tarps on.
There's nothing like a waiting list.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but, you know.
Let's hope it happens.
Yeah, but remember the Bucks waiting list? Remember how quickly that disappeared? Waiting lists go away when people don't have as much money in their pocket. The national media, again, they're saying those tarps. Hey, let's fill the 10,000 seats that are available right now before we worry about the tarps.
You know, to me, though, you just wish that this were just about football.
It's not. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
This would be a football decision and a football decision only, but sometimes that's not the case.
All right, folks, we in pursuit of as much news as we can provide you this evening. It comes from a lot of sources. We've got 30 more minutes. We will talk on the other side of this news break about what's gone down in the league office and New Orleans with respect to the bounties and the Saints. We've got news next here on News Talk WOKV, and then more Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna here on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna here on Jaguars Radio. You know, we just to kind of wrap it up, the Tebow thing in this segment. Of course, unless something breaks here before the show completes this evening, you know, they were talking. We were watching Bill Polian and Mark Schlereth in the studio on ESPN.
Merrill Hodge,
and they were talking, and the more you listened, and we've had the same conversation, the more you realize that Tim Tebow, if he can't be a starting quarterback in this league, can't really fit as a backup in this league, because Bill Polian said, and he's a very bright football man, said he thinks that backup quarterbacks should be seen and not heard, And with the popularity that Tebow has, he says that's unmanageable.
Right. One of Bill's buzzwords has always been, he's always about cutting out distractions, cutting out noise. And that's what he said just now. The noise that you get with Tebow, it can be overwhelming. And, you know,
it's not his fault.
It certainly can be. But there's no question that if he would come here, that is a huge issue to manage. Can it be managed? Yes. But it is a huge issue to manage.
And Bill Polian did add to that, you know, the value that the Jets were going to pay was worth the type of package that the Jets had envisioned him in, which was a wildcat type of package.
In other words, a fourth and a sixth, and getting a seventh back was worth the kind of player in the kind of situation that you can. But the noise came over the top. But, you know, we've had a conversation going in here during the break also, and that is whether Tebow's here or whether Tebow's not, right? So we were talking about what happens when Blaine Gabbert throws a pick, and he will, and how quickly the fans start calling, not for Henny, but for Tebow. Well,
no matter what.
Right. What happens when Gabbert throws a pick here and Tebow is in New York? They're still going to essentially say, well, you should have got Tebow.
But that
we
was
told
the
you
case,
this guy stinks.
I got that in November of last year. I got that in September.
In other words, you can't win. Whether he's here or whether he's not, you can't manage the situation.
What. No matter what.
Unless you win.
But that's so. I mean, but in a sense, that's okay. I think Blaine's a big boy and he can handle that. But it's certainly going to be there.
You know, somebody had asked me earlier, you know, wouldn't you want a quarterback that can handle that type of thing?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you don't mind getting hit in the upside the head a couple times. But, you know,
right.
You know, when it keeps happening and happening and happening, because that's what could possibly happen, then after a while it would get old.
Grab a call or two here, and then
sure.
We'll wrap up this, and let's go with Jim on the west side. Hello, Jim. How are you this evening?
Hi, guys. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
I haven't been around any media much. I mean, in the last few days, I've just been working. So I just turned the radio show on here, you know, 10, 15 minutes ago. Actually, somebody had told me that Tim had gone to the Jets, and now I just learned that, no, that's not final yet. Anyway, I just wanted to say that I think that Tim Tebow is a very important asset to whatever team he's part of, and I think the only team that ever made the correct decision about him was the Broncos for taking him when they had the opportunity. The Jaguars, shame on the Jaguars for not having taken him. Shame on the Broncos for releasing him, and I'd say shame on the Jets if they took him, because I thought I heard that the Jets fans weren't so excited either. I get your point about Tebow maybe not being a fitting backup to a Peyton Manning. I always thought that Manning and Tebow together would be a great combination. I'm surprised that the Broncos wanted to take Peyton Manning just because he already has his two Super Bowls. He missed the entire last season. I'd rather have a young Tebow or a young Mark Brunell than an aged veteran, or I would just use the veteran to bring up my young guy, Tim Tebow.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Jim, because you had said that shame on the Jaguars for not drafting him. Correct me if I'm wrong, but 2 years ago, Tim was a first-round draft pick. But in the trade, they're talking, you know, swapping six and sevenths and giving up a four, which is equal to essentially a fifth-round draft pick. You know, that's what the trade value for him is now, but yet you say shame on them for not drafting him in the first round with a top 10 pick 2 years ago?
My point being, because, and I know people like to put this down, but a significant portion of the fan base wanted Tim Tebow. And what upsets me about the Jaguars organization is that if they don't bend the fans' way because they say, well, we're not going to stick our finger in the air and see which way the wind is blowing, or we're not going to have the fans a fan poll dictate everything, my response to that is, okay, well, great. You're franchise executives. Go to the playoffs. If you're gonna snub the fans, at least go to the playoffs. But if you're gonna snub the fans and not go to the playoffs, why not bring Spurrier? Why not bring Tim Tebow? And then Tim Tebow has a very successful season. Second season with the Broncos. The Broncos gave their fans the big thrill by bringing the mighty Steelers in and beating them in Denver. So I'm just under the impression that the Broncos fans love Tim Tebow, and if I was a Broncos fan, then I'd be thrilled to have Peyton Manning and Tim Tebow both on my team.
But I go back to that. I mean, 2 years ago he was a first-round pick, and people say, well, the Jaguars should have drafted him, but the trade value is equal to a fifth-round pick today.
Well, okay. And let me jump in here, Jim.
I mean, to me, that doesn't make sense, Jim. I mean, there's a value for everything, and you say, well, they should have listened to the fans. The ultimate respect that you give the fans is trying to get the best players that you can possibly do to build a winner. That's what you do to respect the fans.
And Jim,
because it's about winning.
You're right. And just to follow up, Jim, the Broncos had Tebow mania. It fueled their franchise last fall. Fueled them. I mean, sold jerseys, grabbed the headlines in every paper. Every soccer mom who paid no attention to football was watching because they wanted to watch Tim Tebow, and the Broncos were at the absolute pinnacle of it. And as soon as they could grab a 14-year veteran with four neck surgeries, they did. So aren't they, in effect, telling you what they think of Tim's long-term potential in Denver? I think that they are. I think that they are.
You built that point very nicely. I get that point completely. It seems to me that Tim Tebow and Tim Tebow got criticized a lot. I mean, people wanted to say, "Oh, it's not Tebow bringing these wins about; it's the defense." And I agree. I mean, technically, yeah, it was the defense that beat the San Diego Chargers in overtime and beat the Bears. But then the other folks who said, Tebow is a leader and he's a stimulus, an energizer. I'd like Tim Tebow to bring himself and that energy to the Jaguars and then have the Jaguars fan base be so excited, bring Tebow's excitement, mix in the market's excitement over Tim Tebow, and just the doggone excitement, I think, has to bring a charge to the Jaguars on the field and certainly, of course, pack the stands.
I'm with you.
It would. The question is, on that front, the question is, would it last beyond the initial surge? And I don't think anybody knows. I mean, if it happens, that to me is the thing that would be the most interesting is there's no question there would be something of a bump. I don't think it's going to be a 20,000 bump like some people believe. Hopefully I'm wrong if that happens. But does it last? Does it last if it's a 3-3? Does it last if, you know, I make the argument that if he's great, it's great, but does the interest last? Does the polarizing mania last if there's not this heated debate? I don't know.
Well, the question that I would like to have answered from someone like Jim, is he still there or is he just one quick thought? And that is this, Jim. Do you think that Tebow's fans, and there are lots of them, everyone in this room thinks very highly of him as a human being as well now. Do you think that the fans can sit and understand that Gabbert is the guy that this franchise believes can be there franchise quarterback and not scream for Tim and create a circus every bad play that Gabbert has? Second-year quarterback, he's going to have plenty.
I don't see why Tim Tebow couldn't unseat Blaine Gabbert like Peyton Manning unseated Tim Tebow.
Well, because their skill sets are different. Their skill sets are different. I mean, the Jaguars are trying to build a passing offense with a passing quarterback.
To add, Jim, I mean, if you've got a Peyton Manning and a guy who's, what, 34?
36.
36, has had multiple neck surgeries, and wouldn't you want to keep a young guy that you believe could be a franchise quarterback?
But I think in a way, and I think this call sort of speaks to the concern.
Yeah, it does.
Because, you know, if the idea is to – bring Tim in as a, I'm saying compartmentalized, but as a certain role, I just think that the overall, the people who would be supporting him the most are not going to be happy with that certain role.
We need a break. When we come back, Tony Boselli joins us via the phones, and we will ask him whether he believes that the Team Teal effort will see a huge boost or just a boost if Tim Tebow were to become a Jaguar. One more segment, Jaguars This Week, returns right after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. You know,
I'm glad you guys saw this. Because I've tried the last 2 days not to make the ozone all Tebow all the time.
Yeah,
we tried really hard.
We only took one call.
We sort of tried and kind of gave into it.
Yeah. Well, and look, I hope, with all due respect to Jim, and I don't mean this as a backhanded slap at Jim now that he's not on the air, seemed like a very intelligent, well-reasoned, calm guy and a Tebow fan. And at the end, he gave you a preview of what it could be like, and that is after we talked about John Elway, you know, not keeping him, not seeing him as developmental, not Bill Polian and all the football guys saying he's not an NFL quarterback, and I ask, would you be able to sit back and let him play a role? He goes, well, I don't see why I couldn't beat him out. And folks, if you're listening and you're on the fence either way, that is what is the problem. That is the scary part of this deal. Not who he is as a person, not the money, not it's that. That's it. So Tony Boselli joins us now, Team Teal commissioner, part-time radio host here in Jaguars This Week Land. What's going on, brother?
Part-time.
Well, where are you tonight on the big night?
I didn't know this was going to be a big night when I asked for it off.
No, every night's big on JTW, Tony. Yeah.
This night in particular.
Last week, I guess you were part-time last week.
Yes, I was, and if you missed the chance to play, if you were quiet and didn't say anything about it, then that's your big deal. Hey,
I was kind.
You are a kind person, Tony. Jeff's here, John's here. You can imagine what the conversation has been like. So, the question that every listener wants to know, and that we want to know, is what do you think you would see in terms of ticket sales and momentum for your Team Teal with Tim Tebow in Teal?
You're definitely going to get a bump. I mean, what that is, I don't think anybody really knows. The baby screams in the background, she's cheering for Tim Tebow. I don't know what the bump would be. I think it would be significant.
Is that 7,500, or is that too high?
It's a guess. I don't know. I know this though. I think it's a very difficult situation on the football side. I think it really makes things very complicated. You know, I think Tim Tebow does have a great value in this league as an NFL player. I really do. I think he is talented. Is it ready to be a franchise quarterback? You know, I think there's still a lot of work to be done. I think he needs to get better at some different things he does, but he definitely has a role where he makes a team better, where he's valuable to your team on the offensive side of the football. But the situation we have here in Jacksonville, it's very complicated because we have a young quarterback and there's so many different things going on there. But from a business standpoint, so put the football side away for a second. From a business standpoint, not just from the ticket sales, the immediate ticket sales, but from a relevancy point of view nationally, yeah, it moves the needle. He is proven to move the needle. He moved it in Denver. From the day he was a rookie in jersey sales and everything else, the coverage you get, the interest, the NFL Network, the ESPN, what it does for your brand is undeniably a needle mover. And so from a business perspective, you can make a great case that Tim Tebow is a smart move for any team, and maybe even more for Jacksonville because of it being his hometown market.
But Tony, I said this earlier in that, Tim's popularity in some cases hurts him, in that you talked about the football things that could get complicated, and that's what I think is that, yes, he's popular, but that popularity kind of hurts his value somewhat to really any team.
Yeah,
do you agree?
I do, and it's unfair because I don't think Tim asked for any of it. I mean,
no.
If you have conversations,
it's the great dilemma.
If you have conversations with Tim, he just wants to play football. And some of the craziness that happens outside of his control, I'm sure it's frustrating to him as well because he understands that, you know, it's about playing football and that's how you earn respect in this league. And it would be difficult, especially when you have a young quarterback like Blaine that is, you know, that everyone believes in but needs to progress and needs to get better. If you bring Tim in, it's an immediate controversy. It's an immediate firestorm.
But really, Tony, with Tim, I think that regardless of the age of your quarterback, it could create controversy even with some of the established quarterbacks in some
cases. I disagree there. See, I think if I'm Pittsburgh, name the top seven quarterbacks, and we all know who they are, who are established guys, and you trade for Tim Tebow, you have a conversation with Tim. Listen, we're going to have a package for you of 10 to 15 plays a game. We see your value. You know, nobody in Pittsburgh is going to be screaming for Tim Tebow over Ben Roethlisberger, or the Giants, or Green Bay, or New Orleans.
No football people would, Tony, but these, I mean,
I disagree.
His fans
I don't think
would.
Anybody would. I don't think. I think in the proof of that is in Denver. I mean, it was the perfect thing for John Elway, who I don't think ever bought into Tim Tebow. That's why he had to get Peyton Manning, because he knew Peyton Manning was the one guy that nobody was going to question.
That's not true. I mean, there's
those
been,
Denver fans would
yeah,
have.
There's some folks in Denver
that are
not
Tebow's
happy.
They're mad Tebow's leaving. They're mad Tebow's leaving.
But a minority, guys, I'm telling you. The majority of people in Denver want Tim Tebow. I mean, I want Peyton Manning over Tim Tebow. There's always going to be a minority that are loud and get into that, but the overall sense is that Peyton Manning, you had to do that. Great move for Denver.
But this minority's really, really loud.
Well, I just think there's a handful of franchises sure. that can get away with that. We're not one of those in that situation on the football side. But on a business side, on what it does for your brand nationally, you know, what do people complain about in this market? ESPN doesn't pay attention. NFL Network, no one cares about it. We get overlooked. Well, that changes if Tim Tebow, you go sign Tim Tebow. Now, is that good or bad for the long run? I mean, you can argue both sides of it, but from a pure business side of it, from moving the needle, building your brand, it would sure make things interesting around here.
I think that's Tony's going to be the most interesting question, because when you think about it, in Tim's football career, he's played for two organizations that have not had ticket issues. So you really don't know. I mean, I'm assuming he would give the Jaguars a bump. But historically, you don't really have a track record of just what that bump will be. Florida was sold out and Denver was sold out. So whatever team he goes to next, if it's the Jaguars who do have a ticket issue, it will be the first time where you really get a chance to see how much the mania really gets into the ticket end.
Yeah, we'll find – yeah, sure. That's a great point. We would find out quickly how many of all the people that have said, if you know, that – the tarps come off if you sign Tim Tebow, which I don't think is the case, but you know, you hear so much of that. It would sure be interesting to test that theory.
Sure.
But you know, so that's why I'm not going to give a number of how many tickets I think are sold, because I just don't know. I think we'd be guessing, but I'm very confident that it would. It's a national story. You get national spotlight and you become relevant, and you have an opportunity to build on that. And maybe use that as momentum going into the season.
All right, Tony, we got a minute left, so we say goodbye.
Goodbye, guys. I missed you tonight.
Yeah. Where are you?
Well, I'm home now. I just got back.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, way to bring it, Tony.
Thank you very much, John.
We'll see you next week, and obviously we'll have something big to talk about. You know, we don't have enough time to even dig into this, but
harsh penalties.
Really harsh. Justified?
I thought it was.
You don't tweet, so people got to get it here.
When
it
they tell you to stop,
thought
you got to stop.
It was fitting because the Saints lied to the commissioner.
Right.
You don't lie.
When they tell you to stop,
you
got to stop.
Thumb your nose at the commissioner and what he says.
All right, folks, that'll do it for our show. News to come on Tim Tebow. Stay tuned. Good night, everybody.